Well, we're used to the idea of teenage fans becoming camp followers of bands like the Grateful Dead and their successor band, Phish. But this kind of musical obsession isn't just a rock phenomenon. Take Michael Stinchcomb. He's a colorist in a New York City hair salon who went to the opera 32 times last season. And that isn't the half of it.
I've always had an interest in the arts, the performing arts. I didn't go to much opera unless I was familiar with the score, something like Carmen or Traviata. Anyway, I was involved with somebody. I had a lover who was very, very into opera, and I loved the ballet, and we sort of introduced each other to our passion for these arts. And we went to Paris. He had never been there, and I arranged for us to go to the opera, mainly so that he could go to the opera in Paris. It was on December 24th, 1990, and we walked into the Opera Bastille, and they were performing Mozart's Marriage of Figaro, and the role of the Countess was being sung by an American singer named Renee Fleming, whom I had never heard of and he had never heard of. That night changed my life entirely, because when Renee came out in the second act and sings an aria called Porgi Amore, she's singing to the god of love about how her husband has forsaken her. My entire life changed on the spot. Somehow this woman spoke directly to my soul. We came back to New York and we started watching for her name to appear, and we would go see her any chance that we got. And time passed, and Pat unfortunately became very, very ill. There were times when we would go to see Renee, and he would use that as a reason to rally. And we would go, and we would see her, and he would be thrilled, and I would be thrilled. And when he passed away, I wrote her a letter telling her how much she had meant to him and to me, because I felt like an artist should know how they had touched somebody. And she wrote me back, and it meant so much to me that she had taken the time to do it. And in her note, she said how moved she was and how happy she was that she had touched a person's life like she had his. And the next time that I came to see her, to please come backstage and identify myself to her. Shortly after that, she was singing at Carnegie Hall. Renee was astounding. Standing ovation at Carnegie Hall, screaming, whistling, you know, fans going berserk. And I was the first fan in line at the stage door of her dressing room. And I told her who I was, and she embraced me and said how moved she was by my letter. And it meant so much to me that the woman became a goddess to me on the spot. I never told her what I did for a living, because I never really wanted to interfere with her private life. I never wanted to bother her in any way. All I wanted to do was listen to her sing and to go backstage and have her look at me and say, "Hello, Michael, how are you doing?" That's all it took to make me happy. However, she was looking to change her look at that time, because she was ready to have some photographs made that were eventually used in her CD, The Beautiful Voice. And she came into me, and I changed her hair color. My boss cut her hair, and she got a whole new look from it. So it was a dream come true for me that she started coming to me as a client. And when she did come to me as a client, we also have really become, I would say, very good friends. When I listen to Renee sing, there's just something about that voice that makes me feel more alive. I heard one time that great art makes you feel more alive, and that is how I feel when I listen to her. It's spellbinding. It just touches a place deep within me that really nothing else does. The roles that she sings, for instance, the Marshalin in Strauss's Rosenkavalier, is a woman who is starting to age. She's a beautiful woman, but she knows that time is passing, and the role is heartbreaking, and you can hear that in her voice. Unfortunately, singers' careers don't last forever, so I try to hear it as much as I can. I travel, I go to Paris to hear her when she sings, I go to Germany, I go to San Francisco, I go to Chicago. Anytime that she sings that I can make it there to hear her, I go. I'm going on a vacation to Europe, and I time my vacations around the dates that she sings. I have it figured out that I can go to Paris and hear her last performance of Massenet's Manon at the Opera Bastille, which is one of her greatest roles, then go to Munich and hear a recital that she's doing, and also hear her do a performance of Arabella, Strauss's Arabella, and that is all within a one-week period. Actually, I know her schedule about 4 years in advance, so I really do plan my vacations around it. I feel that I'm lucky to have an obsession with a great artist, and I'm very lucky to have this in my life. I think everybody needs a passion in their life. I mean, for some people it's sports, for some people it's cooking, I don't know, but Renee is my passion. Opera is now my passion, and I'm so lucky because I'm not just a viewer in the audience. There's never a time that I feel that my love of the opera or my obsession with Renee or the fact that I do travel to hear her sing or I spend a lot of money on opera tickets, I never question that because it brings me happiness. And one of my favorite expressions is, a shroud has no pockets. I'm not putting children through college. I feel that the money that I spend is very well spent. I don't regret one dime of the money that I spend. And it gives me things to look forward to. I mean, I'm already counting the minutes till 2002 and 2003 because I know I'm going to be seeing such wonderful things and hearing her sing roles that I just can't wait to hear her do.
Our chronicle of Renee Fleming's greatest fan, Michael Stinchcomb, was produced by Adeline Sear.